All right, this is Mark and Pete. We were not able to record a new episode this week,
but we are going to treat you, well, treat you as a hard thing for me to say, because we are going to play for you an interview with famed libertarian thinker Ayn Rand.
Yeah, it's from 1957. Things were a little bit different back then. It's weird listening to an old recording of yourself. I don't know if I quite feel the ways that I do about races again, but again, it was 1957, so we'll just put it out there. We'll let the listener be the judge. Mm-hmm. Here's an archive episode of Hard Nation from 1957. Oh boy, coming at you from the right, I'm Mark Hard.
And coming at you from the left, I'm Pete Hard.
You've crossed the border into Hard Nation. Pete, so do you have any interesting guests over at your house?
Yes, I think you know I do.
There was a man with a mustache come by?
Yes, it was your daughter, Janice.
Okay. All right. Well, you saw through it this time. Ladies and gentlemen, it is 1957. We have communists everywhere. We have secret homosexuals all among us. And the Hard family is doing their best to uncover this red menace.
All completely synthetic and created threats. The big threat is the threat of disunity and not letting white Americans or black Americans integrate.
Well, I couldn't believe that President Eisenhower forced integration. Wow. I guess call me a separate but equal guy, but I think every race should have their own stuff.
Your license plate is Plessy V. Ferguson.
Yeah, a PVF. It's not that I'm racist. It's just that I think that every race wants their own stuff. Like, I think that, like, in Washington, D.C., there's a bunch of different races, so you should have water fountains for everybody. You know, you have a black water fountain and a white water fountain and a Chinese water fountain.
Do you see how that might be alienating to the people who don't get to drink from the white water fountain?
Well,
because the white water fountain is meaningfully better.
Well, of course, because white people get thirstier than other races. Look, this is all just science, Pete. For example, if instead of having, we'd have different parts of a bus that everyone can sit in. You have your Canadian part and your Mexican part. You have your part for old people and your part for young people. And everyone gets along better that way.
Isn't that too much government?
No, this would be a private bus lane. Private bus line called Everybody Gets Their Own Seats Bus Lane, and we all are happy. In a rainbow, you don't mix all the colors together, right?
You indeed don't.
Oh, 1957 is a great year, Pete. There's so much good stuff going on.
The American people are really disjointed, and it's really bumming me out.
Oh, boy, I just want to knock you upside your head when you say that there, Pete.
Gee willikers, good thing we're brothers.
Well, hey, I tell you what, Pete, I am excited because we have one of the foremost thinkers, anti-communist thinkers, because of course communism is the menace. We know my brother Pete here is a communist, and I've been trying to catch him in the act for years. Yeah, keep getting close. My daughters are doing our best to try to entrap him.
They do a very bad job. A cartoonish set of glasses and mustache on a very heavy set girl with very much your complexion and face is not a good trick.
Well, they're going to get you one of these days. They're going to get you to slip. But today we have as a guest an author. You've all read The Fountainhead out there. She's one of the foremost anti-communist thinkers. Ayn Rand is on the program.
The personality of dust.
When we return, we talk to Ayn Rand on Hard Nation. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, Pete.
Oh boy.
We got a great guest, one of my favorite authors of all time. She wrote The Fountainhead, which I'm sure everyone out there has read.
I didn't read it. The New York Times hated it. I wouldn't read it.
Well, I think everyone should read it because it really teaches you how to be an individual and stand up for yourself.
I read excerpts.
She's here promoting a new book called Atlas Shrugged. Please welcome to the studio Ayn Rand.
Hello. I am Ayn Rand. It is very nice to be here.
Ayn, thank you for coming in.
Thank you for being
here. Thank you for. Have you read my book?
Parts of all of them.
I implore you, if you are a man with a rational mind of your own, then you will read the book and come to your own conclusions, which necessarily have to also be my yours. Conclusions.
Yes.
Yes. Your books seem to tightly orbit one idea.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that is that rational self-interest is it will help America defeat communism and will help us defeat poverty and mysticism.
I love this. I love this. And that's what we need is a real ideology to combat the red menace.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about your life. What got you to this realization that Russia, that communism was a soul-sucking communal enterprise?
If you cannot tell from my accent, I was born in Russia.
Oh.
And while I lived there, I was happy and my parents were happy. But then the communists took over and they take everything from my family. So mm-hmm. I left as a child.
What were some of your favorite things before the communists came in?
Books and thought.
You sound like a fun kid.
I was not a fun child. I did not get along with other children. Nobody under the age of 15 wants to discuss their philosophical ideals, which is what I wanted to do. I did not like the slide. I do not like the swing. I do not like the merry-go-round. I would like a philosophy go-round where you sit and you discuss your ideas as you go in a circle.
In a circle.
I don't think anyone else would ride that with you.
I this is what I have found.
Yes.
Now, okay. now my brother here, and I am constantly calling the police, and I'm saying, look, my brother, he seems to be having some lefty leanings. He seems to be espousing ideas of sharing things and communism, for lack of a better term. So what would you say to him to snap him out of this red mindset?
I would say that you have only to look at the current state of the Soviet Union to know that the end destiny of communism is misery and frozen farmlands and no Superman.
Yeah, there's no Superman.
Now, I'm not an actual communist. My brother is just repeatedly accusing me of being a communist because I asked his daughters to share their dinner. One of them is very heavy, and I asked her to share her dinner, and he now thinks I'm a communist.
I agree with your brother.
Yeah.
Do you believe that just because somebody has a lot of dinner, that they cannot eat all of their dinner?
Yes.
You believe that man has limits?
Yes.
I believe if I see a fat child who is eating a good amount of food and she is happy, why would I ever take the food from her?
See, exactly.
Well, because they're compromising their health.
Yes. I assume that when you go into McDonald's or one of these young enterprising businesses.
Yes, I've been to this McDonald's. It's great.
Me too.
That you purchase a cheeseburger for everybody in the restaurant.
Yeah, at least one.
How can you afford that, Pete? I told my daughter, after you embarrassed her at dinner and you said, share all those rolls, I took her aside and I said, you crush him when he least expected.
Jumped. She jumped across the table and sat on me.
Yeah.
That's not what you meant. She's not a bright girl.
She's learning.
Defending her property and
absolutely.
Her dinner.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So look at, like, when we went into Korea, to stop the Chinese red menace from crossing the border. What would you have us do there, Pete? Just say, China, go ahead and take Korea.
Yes, I would say let's all sit down at the table and talk about how we can all share all these things, okay? Because I think we're falsely putting up walls amongst the peoples of the world and that we can all actually be together.
Oh, that's disgusting.
I find you to be a deplorable, potentially homosexual individual.
Oh my God, I didn't even think about that.
And I would ask that you read my books and use your brain.
I will not read your books, and I would ask you to stop eating that dry toast in the studio.
I have to keep my nutrients in my body, and dry toast is the only thing that my constitution will allow me to consume right now.
Well, those little nibbles are very disconcerting.
I will eat toast at my own pace.
Okay.
Because it is in my own self-interest to eat my toast whichever way I want.
Now, see, she is someone that is standing up for herself. She's definitely not a homosexual or a communist.
Well, I'm actually not sure about that.
Well,
I'm actually not sure about that. That tiny hat she's wearing, well, I'm not going to cast aspersions. She wears a trapezoidal hat.
That's a patriot hat. That is a Patriot hat.
What is the concept of this radio hour that you have? What is the show here?
We like to discuss politics, and we like to talk about American politics right now. And you're one of the great minds in America right now, teaching people how to be an individual, stand up for themselves.
Thank you.
What I worry about is that this idea, this communist idea, is infiltrating through American culture right now. There's just a book. I don't know if you've seen that. It's a picture book. It's a drawing book that just came out called The Cat and the Hat by a man named Dr. Seuss. Have you seen this?
I have, but I have serious questions about whether or not he is an actual doctor. I cannot find his credentials anywhere.
Absolutely.
I do not know what university he graduated from, and I have never seen a doctor who dedicates himself to just drawing pictures of cats for children.
So a book like The Cat in the Hat seems to be teaching communist ideals to children.
No, it's teaching kids that a cat can be a good babysitter.
Well, yeah, and who's the babysitter? The government.
A cat.
I'll go to
a shelter right now and get a cat. I want to babysit my kids. Ayn Rand, would you like to be babysat by a cat?
I absolutely do not believe that a cat has any business babysitting a child. You must raise a child with instruction so that they grow up to be humorless but dedicated to whatever craft you impart on them.
Absolutely.
A cat is far too whimsical, and it just the idea of the lessons that a cat would give to a child, I cannot abide by this. I do not endorse Cat in the Hat.
You see?
I would read a book called Architect in a Hat.
Yes.
About an architect who comes to a child's house and teaches how to build with blocks or sticks or Lincoln logs. And then through a development cycle, the child becomes a man and then creates a business. In fact, depending on the reception of Atlas Shrugged, I will dedicate myself to creating a child's version, Atlas in a Hat or Architect in a Hat or Capitalist in a Hat.
Do you think
those books would be equally unsuccessful as your current books?
First off, The Fountainhead is a rabid success.
Huge
was turned
success.
Into a large film, which I also wrote.
Yes, I have five copies of it in this room.
But my new book has been savaged by the critics in the liberal communist press. And so, therefore, it is being poorly received. But mark my words, it will change this country for either the worse or the better, mm-hmm. depending on how people apply its ideas to their own mind.
I predict it will mostly change the minds of 14 to 16-year-old boys.
What is another homosexual thing to say, Pete? Why are you thinking about 14 to 16-year-old boys?
I'm thinking that's a time when a man's mind is most impressionable. When I was that age, I read nothing but coloring books, and now I love to color.
How do you read a coloring book?
I read the little captions underneath that say, I'm a dog or whatever.
So you would say that the value of American education is that it teaches you are a dog.
I'm a dog.
I don't see. This is why.
This is terrible. This is more of that communist sort of. And now we have communists shooting dogs into space.
Oh, this is awful.
This is awful. So earlier this year, of course, we saw Sputnik get launched into space. And now there is Sputnik 2. And Sputnik 2 had a little dog on it. Laika.
So the Russians were so desperate to beat us into space that they managed to kill an animal to prove that they are better scientists. They also, have you seen this? They have a dog's head, which they keep alive away from its body.
That what? This is a thing they do?
Yes, this is a Russian thing. They will
disgusting. And you're probably excited about this, right? This is something that you're like, ooh, this is a science. What scientists do.
Am I excited about a dog's head being cut off and kept separate from the body?
Because you're all about the science.
You're nervous because you are a dog. Then
yes.
What if it happens to you?
Yes. That makes me nervous. I don't want to get my head cut off. I'm a good dog. I'm a good man. And I don't want to get my head cut off.
I think we should be shooting larger animals into space. If they're going to be shooting dogs into space, we need to be shooting elephants or something bigger into space to show the Reds that we will not stand by as they shoot pets into space. We will shoot bigger things.
You want to shoot an elephant into space?
Well, eventually.
I think maybe we should focus on putting a human being into space so that he may use his mind and learn what space is like.
Is that the goal?
I agree with Ayn Rand for the first time.
Oh, yeah. I thought the goal was just to shoot bigger things into space.
No elephants in space.
Although I wish that we could defund NASA and privatize the space race so that we could, any person could send whatever they want into space.
There you go.
I would like to send a copy of my book into space.
Oh.
Don't you think that would cut off large swaths of the population from opportunity if we privatized the space program?
If you privatize it, what are you talking about?
So poor people would be excluded.
Why? Do you think that a poor person is stupid and cannot make themselves a spaceship? Any human being is capable of making money no matter where he begins from.
Okay, well, that fails to acknowledge some pretty big cracks in the system, doesn't it?
No, it does not. I believe I met an 11-year-old boy the other day. His name was Donald, and he saw in me and I saw in him a future where he could be any kind of man that he would like. Mm-hmm. I believe this man, this child, Donald Trump, I believe his name was, will grow up to be a great real estate developer if he wants. There is nothing that could say that he could not be president of the United States.
Can you describe this person's personality to me?
Yes. He was crying, and he was sitting on a stoop with an apple was at his feet. He had dropped the apple.
Oh.
And he was upset because the apple was no longer edible. And I told him, everybody who has an apple, you can take that apple from them if you can convince them to give you the apple that they have in their hands. Therefore, all the apples are yours.
And wow.
He looked up brightly and he said, I will take all of the apples. I just have to convince people they are mine to begin with.
Wow. So
sounds like a real pig.
That's fantastic. And, I wouldn't be telling stories about 11-year-old boys around Pete here, but what's his name? Donald?
His name was Donald Trump.
Donald Trump. We should have him into the studio.
11-year-old
boy. I'd prefer we didn't.
I know you.
Just because of the aspersions that are being cast on me today, I'd prefer we didn't.
She opened my eyes, Pete. She opened my eyes.
I've been called a dog and a homosexual.
We got to take a break here.
Neither of which are bad things. America should be more progressive attitudes towards both.
Yeah, right. Like dogs or homosexuals will be accepted in America.
Is an astoundingly acute
I would love to hear what your idea of progress is.
I think progress is everyone in America having an equal chance at the opportunity that some of the upper echelons of our society have had for centuries.
Oh, everyone already does. The strong get to the top.
No,
and we'll discuss this more after we take this break. We are back with fervent anti-communist philosopher Ayn Rand.
And I am committed to making her have a little fun.
I am not interested in fun unless it comes at the end of a great day of work.
What would you say is a great day of work for you?
A great day of work is to get up, smoke 5 to 15 cigarettes while I think of an idea that is formed in my mind wholly.
That's so many, but doesn't seem like a health problem.
Smoking is man's requirement. You must smoke to demonstrate that you have tamed fire.
Wow.
I see.
I like that. Dominance over fire.
Yes.
Yes.
Very primal.
Put fire near to your mouth, and then everyone knows that you have mastered it.
Sure. I love a good Chesterfield in the morning. My six daughters always get upset when I'm smoking around the house. They're always like, Dad, don't smoke. They think that it's not cool.
Teach your children that you are boss by sending them into the street where they will fend for themselves, or respect the fact that when you smoke, it is in your house and it is of your own free will.
So, earlier, we were talking about this whimsical Dr. Seuss character who, Cat in the Hat last year came out with The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, which, of course is probably about communism.
Of course he has to steal.
Of course.
Because Christmas is a limited asset, and the Grinch has no idea how to make a Christmas of his own.
Yeah, so he has to take it away, just like the government takes things away from us.
Yes, the Grinch is the government.
You see that, Pete?
The Grinch is just a creation of Theodore Geisel's marvelously whimsical mind.
He is a thief, a green thief.
Yes, and how do you know Dr. Seuss's real name?
Oh,
you hanging out?
I spilled the beans on my old friend. We can edit that out, right?
Nah, editing doesn't exist.
Huh?
I don't know. So, all right. So earlier you were saying that you would love to have an architect in a hat, a capitalist in a hat.
Capitalist in a hat. I have written during the break a small segment of the book that I would like to share.
Well, please share it with our listeners.
So the capitalist comes to the home of the two children. Mm-hmm. And he enters after being invited because he respects their family.
It's their house. They've been invited in. Yes. You invite someone into your space.
So this is the advice he says to them. This house is an asset. Put it up for sale. Invest in a business and try not to fail. Make an invention or else you'll go broke. There is no time for fun because your life isn't a joke. This is followed by a 50-page speech in which the capitalist breaks down how capitalism works to the children. And at the end, they are grown. They have their own mind, their own will. They do not go to university, and they become immediately entrepreneurs.
I love this. That's amazing.
Thank you.
That's the kind of education that children need nowadays, how to stand up for themselves.
Yes.
Sell the house. It's an asset.
It is an asset. And then take the money and use it like venture capital to begin your own business.
There you go.
What a disappointing groove to form in a child's mind.
Looking for opportunity?
I feel like it stigmatizes imagination. You're telling them about...
If your imagination is just a gateway into drugs or mysticism, then yes, any imagination is wrong. But if you take your imagination and you use it to make the railroad or you make a spaceship, then imagination is good.
But yeah.
Otherwise, it is terrible.
Have you heard of this? You mentioned drugs. Have you heard of this drug, this marijuana?
Yes, I have heard of marijuana.
I'm so scared of this drug. I feel as people will smoke this drug. What? Pete.
I love it.
Pete, you are not admitting that you smoke reefer.
I'm admitting it in hopes that it will destigmatize marijuana usage for all our presidents in the future.
That is.
I want everyone to know that marijuana is cool.
I think people that smoke marijuana or even hold any of it on them should go to jail for the rest of their lives.
Well, I think that would fill up our prisons with people who aren't actually criminals. They're just cool dudes trying to have a good time.
This is going to sound controversial, but I believe that any man should be allowed to smoke marijuana if he wants. However,
any man that wants
to smoke marijuana is a moron. And therefore, he should not smoke the marijuana.
Honestly, we can't cloud our minds with these substances.
I do take a drug every day. I take amphetamine. It helps me to write very quickly and very angrily. And
you need help being angry?
Yes, I do. Yeah. Sometimes need to be helped for being angry. Mm-hmm. I would like to relax, but this is not my place.
Well, so you say that you don't really have any fun. You're all amped up on these amphetamines.
I do like to dance to music.
Okay, so Elvis was just shipped off to war, right? Okay. He's doing his time. So do you listen to any Elvis at all?
I do not like Elvis Presley.
Why not?
Elvis Presley is not inventing his own music. He is co-opting a music that has already existed and repackaging it as his own.
Didn't he invent rock and roll?
No, he appropriated it
from black people.
Now, what is that appropriating? What does that even mean?
He appropriated rock and roll music. I do not like Elvis Presley.
Who did it before Elvis?
Many people.
Ayn Rand and I know.
I do not agree with you. I do not I am not on your side, but I do not like Elvis.
I'm going to offer you some weed when we're done with this interview.
You better not. My daughters will find you. My daughter's going to do a sting on your house.
I hope that Elvis Presley dies in war.
Whoa.
Wow.
Ayn Rand.
Throwing it down with Elvis Presley.
That's very unkind. I understand your focus on self-reliance, but... wishing for a person to die is a really nasty thing to do.
I think that it would be an overall benefit to human beings.
Oh, I see.
Wow.
If Elvis Presley was shot and killed during the war.
Oh, my God.
What a tragic calculus.
She's throwing it down against Elvis Presley here.
I actually have a list of other people that I would like to see shot in a warfare.
Can we hear?
Ayn Rand is taking a giant notebook out of her backpack.
Huge book.
Is that the list?
Yes, this is...
This is like a tome.
I would like to see Dr. Seuss shipped off to war.
Oh, my God. Your buddy, Theodore Geisel.
I would like to see...
Teddy.
I would like to see... there is a small pop group that is just starting to make music.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see the Beatles shipped off to war and killed.
The Beatles?
The Beatles.
I haven't heard of them.
They are brand new. A friend of mine they are making the grunge music.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see them shipped off to war and killed.
All right, great. We'll ship the Beatles off to war.
Whoever is the Democratic nominee for president...
Adlai Stevenson.
Yes, I don't know.
Illinois governor.
Shipped to war and shot and killed.
Wow.
He's a little old to serve.
This is like, broad. This is, we have authors, we have musicians.
The cast of that reprehensible show, Leave It to Beaver, shipped off to war and killed.
That was a great show. It just debuted.
I agree with you. I agree with you. That show is very annoying.
The New York Times Literary Criticism Department shipped off to war and killed.
My God.
This is a hit list.
This is a total hit list.
Well, are there chapters of this book where people aren't shipped off to war and are killed in other ways, or does everyone just get shipped off to war?
Of my big book?
Yes.
No. I do not want to murder a man, but if he wants to, by his own choice, go to war, then yes, I would hope that he is shot in the head.
Wow. So
that's really circuitous. I feel like that's a pretty bad workaround. You just want these people to die.
I do not want any man to. I want him to live.
I also noticed the end of your hit book has a 50-page speech.
Yes, it's a 50-page speech. In case anybody would like the opportunity to live, I give it. They can read, and then they erase their own name from the hit list.
You give them a chance to do it.
Of course.
Now,
one of these radio hosts that I am speaking with now, who I would like to add to my book and have him choose to go to war.
Wow.
Get killed.
That's fine. You put me right in that book.
So who are the people that you like in America right now?
You testified before HUAC.
Yes.
Yeah, the House Un-American Activities Committee, one of the great patriotic acts in the United States, 1947, almost 10 years. I can't believe it's almost been 10 years.
Mark my words, it will be remembered as a disgusting stain
on
American history.
People love lists. People love lists with names of bad people, and it's like, oh, they're bad. Think how much better America is now that we got rid of all those communist writers and such.
Yes, that is a codified favorite thing of the American people.
Yes. So who are some of the people that you do like in America? Who are the people that you would want to not die in war?
I like Frank Lloyd Wright. I believe that he is a self-made man and a very brilliant
artist. He's a real one-trick pony.
If Henry Ford, I would like Henry Ford.
I love Henry Ford.
Yeah, he's good.
Strong man.
On that one.
Rockefeller. I like Rockefeller.
Yes, Nelson Rockefeller.
Yes,
John Rockefeller.
I like the Rockefellers. They are good. But I do not like Elvis Presley. I don't like that man.
Really hate Elvis Presley. Isn't there not even Jailhouse Rock?
No. He belongs in a jail for corrupting the minds of the youth with appropriated music. He should be in jail for theft.
Wow.
His dancing is not his own dancing.
That is not the kind of dancing you do. Because you posited that you're a huge dancer. I don't believe it.
It's true. I put on music from the 1920s or the 30s, and I dance around in my living room and smoke cigarettes.
Wow.
I have a feeling that your lifestyle is going to catch up to you.
What does that mean?
I have a premonition. I also believe smoking is good, but something about the way you're living, I feel like it's going to come back to bite you. Cigarettes and dancing.
I think that maybe when I am older, I will not be able to dance, but I will still enjoy the idea of dancing in my own mind.
All right.
I will imagine myself dancing and smoking.
Are you worried that's you indulging in whimsy?
You're right. I will not imagine my dancing. I will only dance or not dance. There is a binary. I will dance or I will not dance, but I will not imagine dancing.
So you'll just imagine yourself. If you're lying in a bed, you'll imagine yourself lying in a bed.
But you can dance. Imagine yourself dancing if you've worked a hard day.
Yes. If I work, then I will reward myself by imagining dancing.
Yeah. So you're at a time in your life when you can only lay down. And if you've made a very hard day of work from your bed, then although you'll be too infirm to dance, you will imagine yourself dancing.
I might allow myself to indulge in such a fantasy.
Okay. Earlier you said that if you had a hard day of work that you could let yourself tell a joke. What kind of joke do you let yourself hear? If you've worked really hard, you've toiled out in the fields.
Let us see. A man walks into a bar. Yes?
Sure.
Okay. And then he leaves the bar because alcohol is bad for the mind. He goes across the street to a library and he says, I would like to check out a book. And they say, sir, which book would you like to check out? And he says, I would like to check out the Communist Manifesto. Then he says, haha, I am joking. And he instead takes a book like the Fountainhead and goes outside and reads it to completion from start to finish. The joking part was where he wanted to get a communist manifesto.
Oh, so it's sort of a joke within a joke. So it's sort of this man had a little fun with the librarian, and that's the joke part. But then there's still a point.
I believe all jokes should still make a point. So, okay. I do end with the point, but the joke part, was I not clear?
No, you were clear.
There was a joke. He made a joke.
I have an accent.
You had fun.
You were so clear.
I would like to get a copy of the Communist Manifesto, and then he does not want it.
And the librarian goes to get it, yeah. And he goes, hold up.
It wasn't funny.
This was a prank.
It wasn't funny.
This was a prank.
This was a prank. Mm.
Oh, all right.
You are absolutely no fun.
Everybody slaps their legs.
So if you have one piece of advice for the kids out there as we wrap up here, what would it be? The child, the 10, 11-year-old child who's in first or second grade, making his way into America, bright-eyed, ready to take on the world.
I would say to you, if your parents have not yet purchased you a copy of Atlas Shrugged,
mm-hmm.
then you must go out and mow lawns until you have enough money to buy a copy of Atlas Shrugged.
Work.
Then you read the book and draw your own conclusions, which are my conclusions, and then you become a man.
I love it. Mm. I love it.
And do not let the Grinch steal from you.
Do not let the Grinch steal from you.
Ayn Rand closing it out by demonstrating just how insane she is.
What is your
warning,
advice?
Warning. My advice
what
is...
What would your advice be?
My advice is let the Grinch in and see what happens.
No.
Yes, let the Grinch in and see what happens.
You party with the Grinch. Have the Cat in the Hat babysit your kids.
I am calling America, the FBI so many times today. I'm calling the FBI so many times today on
you. Celebrate whimsy.
Ayn Rand, thank you for coming out. Everyone, buy The Fountainhead. It is... $1.99 at your local bookstore.
It's expensive.
That's expensive.
Thank you for having me on your show. Is this the part where I read my speech?
There's a huge speech. You can start reading it. We'll go out on that.
I don't know. For a moment, I was possessed by a temporary irrational feeling that you were going to kill me.
No, I believe that you should volunteer for a war, and hopefully the outcome for this will be that you are dead.
Well, get shot in the head.
Wait, who's knocking on the door?
You've made that clear.
Who's not? Come on in. Why? It's a tall man with a mustache.
That's your fat daughter.
Don't you want to kiss him?
No, Janice, go home.
Kiss him.
Janice, go home. And I see that there's a bunch of Twinkies in the pocket.
Hey.
That was Ayn Rand. She is refusing to leave, maintaining very hard eye contact with me.
Wow.
And continuing to wish me dead.
She is, she's still just sitting here, just stony, as though
smoking
she's some
a
sort
cigarette.
Of it's a stone sculpture, smoking a cigarette, just puffing away.
I can't tell what's going on, but every 2.5 minutes, she kind of curls her face into a smile, and I'd like to think she's imagining dancing.
Wow. Well, I have a feeling that she's going to make quite a mark on all the 15-year-old boys out there. And
I do think that that's going to be her key demographic. She's going to make a big impact.
Well, come back, Hard Nation. We're going to be talking to some of the foremost designers of fusion bombs. Have you seen these fusion bombs? They're very big.
I gotta get me one.
Oh, that's so exciting. We're living in a wonderful time here in 1957. We're closing the borders here at Hard Nation.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Adam Sachs, and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.